If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Once there was a young mother who had a very faithful dog. This dog was so faithful and loyal and loving. The mother trusted this dog with everything. In fact, the mother used to leave the child, her baby, sleeping on his bed with the dog guarding the child alone in the room. Sometimes the mom would go out and do some cooking or washing or even greeting the neighbors. She never once worried about the safety of the child, because her faithful, loyal dog was there standing watch. But then, one fateful day, she came home after having left the dog guarding her child. And to her shock, when she went into the bedroom, she saw the entire room was in disarray. The bed sheets were pulled from the bed, and her child was missing. Worst of all, there was blood on the bed and blood on the floor, and the fear gripped her heart as she thought to herself, "The dog has eaten my child." Just then, the little dog came out from under the bed. The dog was covered with blood and licking its mouth. And in a rage of fury, the woman picked up a stick and began beating the dog. "You've killed my baby! You've killed him! You've killed him!" She beat the dog until he died. Then with fear and trembling, she looked under the bed to find her child. But when she looked under the bed, to her shock, she saw that the baby was safe and sound, sleeping under the bed. And there, next to the child, was the bloody, dead corpse of a snake. She thought the dog had killed the baby, but in actual fact, the dog had saved the baby and killed the snake. How many of you can agree with me today that things are not always as they first appear? We often view things with limited understanding. And sadly, this doesn't just affect our minds, but it also affects our actions. For the fact is, our perception of things dictates our conduct. We act based on what we believe to be true. If we see something that we believe to be the truth, we will act in truth. But if we believe a lie, it affects our behavior and we are led astray. That's why today's life app we're going to discover is so important. Today, we're going to discover a life app that will give us a fundamental understanding of God as it affects our daily lives. We'll learn a new perspective on life so that it will not only change our beliefs, but it will change our actions. But before we discover this life app, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for gathering us together in your presence. You're here to bless us, to meet us, and we're here to worship you. You're here to make us stronger, and we pray today that you will give us the understanding we need. Open the eyes of our understanding in our spirit, soul, and mind, that we might see the truth and be changed thereby. Everywhere we have a wrong perception of truth about you or about our life, we pray you'll change it today and give us the truth. I submit this people to you. I bind every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us in the name of Jesus. And I loose the spirit of the living God to move in this place that you might be glorified and we might be changed. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Just pray with me. Put your hand on your chest and say, "Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen." Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm glad that you're here today as we continue our sermon series called Life Apps, Apply God's Word, Change Your Life. You know, throughout this series, we're looking at spiritual truths from the Bible that will change our lives, just like you would download, install, and apply an app on your smartphone. So we're downloading and installing God's Word so that we can apply it and be changed. We began the sermon series last week with the guidance app taken from Psalm 119, 105. We started with that because the Word of God is our foundation for everything we believe and everything we do. If you missed that message, I want to encourage you to go to the Resource Center at the close of service and pick up the CD. You will be blessed. Now, you might remember last week, I challenged us that each and every week, we're going to be memorizing our life app from the Word of God. And last week, we had Psalm 119, 105. I'm going to give you a little test this morning. Are you ready? We're going to say it together by memory. Don't look in your notes. Don't look in your Bible. Don't put it on the screen. But here we go. Psalm 119, 105. Ready? Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. Amen. Clap for yourself. You did pretty good there. All right. See, we started with the guidance app because God's word is our guidance. It is our source of truth and information. But today we come to the second app, and this is called the God Works app. Everybody say God Works. Through this app, we're going to discover a fundamental truth about God. But it's not just for the sake of knowledge or information. It's a truth that affects everything about our daily lives. Inside your bulletin, you'll find your sermon notes. They look like this. And I want to invite you to take that out and follow along with me now as we discover the God Works app found in Romans 8:28. Don't forget as well, you can follow along on YouVersion on your smartphone or your iPad or your laptop. The instructions are there on the back. Well, you've got the scripture on your notes. It's on the screen behind me, but it won't help you unless it's in your heart and on your mouth. So let's say it together. Romans 8:28. Ready? Go. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You know, one of the things that strikes me about this important verse is the word know. One of the things that comes out at me first is Paul says, we know. He doesn't guess. He's not hoping. It's not something we imagine. We know. And we need to know what it is we know in order to make use of the God Works app. So today we're going to look at three things you must know to apply the God Works app. And here's the first truth. You've got to know the truth about God. Just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word God. For Paul begins by saying, we know that God works. Listen, friend, the first and fundamental, most important truth you need to know today in any area of your life is you need to know the truth about God. Have you ever noticed that people respond to you based upon what they perceive you are like? I can remember a time not so long ago, I met a young man in my office, and I could sense that at the early stages of our discussion, he was a bit hostile, he was a bit stiff, he didn't smile, he didn't seem too friendly. But I decided to just respond by being kind and friendly and my normal, cheerful self, and I just treated him like a friend. And I noticed as time went by, he began to relax and became more friendly, and we chatted and had a great time together. I was able to encourage him. But at the end of the conversation, he said something interesting to me. He said, Reverend, before I came to meet you, I'd heard a lot of bad things about you. I don't know who was telling him that, but I rebuke it in Jesus' name. He said, I heard you were mean and hard and harsh, and I was a bit afraid, but I've come to discover what I heard outside is nothing like that at all. You're very nice and you're very friendly. But see, his perception of me affected his conduct towards me. When he thought I was mean or cruel or unfriendly, he was a bit reserved and hostile. But when he thought I was friendly, he warmed up and responded. And the same is true about us in our response to God. What you really believe about God will affect the way you respond to God. The way you perceive God is the way you receive God. That's why it's so important to know the truth about God so that we can respond to him correctly. And here in our text today is one of the most important truths you could ever learn about God. God is working for your good all the time. If you believe it, say amen. See, friend, if you believe that God is against you, it's going to affect your life. You're going to be defeated. You're going to be angry. You'll live with frustration, and you'll constantly be in fear because you think God is out to get you. He's against you. You'll pray out of duty, not love. You'll give out of fear, not fellowship. But if you believe that God is for you, if you believe he's working for your good in all things, you'll be upbeat. You'll be filled with joy. You'll have an overcoming attitude because you know that the ruler of the universe is on your side. And the fact is today, friend, you can know that because Paul says we know God is working for our good. God is for us. He's with us. He's on your side. And Bible tells us he's not just passively sitting in heaven looking down at you and saying, well, I hope things work out for her. I hope she makes it. I wish him well. The Bible says he is for us. He is working for our good. That's why a few verses later in Romans 8 it says this: what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Hallelujah! Friend, you've got to know something today. God is not passive in heaven, but he's actively working on your behalf. And the Bible says he's working for your good. He's on your side. And listen to what the Word of God tells us. It says that even when you didn't know God, even before you loved him, even before you believed in him, even before you were born again, even before you were born in this world, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross that you might be saved. And if he would do that for you when you didn't know him and you didn't love him, how much more? I said, how much more is God going to do on your behalf now that you're a child of God, now that you love him and you're serving him? God is working on your behalf. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oftentimes we misinterpret Romans 8:28. And you'll hear this when people talk. Sometimes we think that it says things will work for good. But I like the NIV translation because the Bible doesn't say things will work. It says God is working. Some people think, well, it will all just work out somehow. We believe in a type of luck or fate. But friend, your fate is not based on luck or fate. Your future and your destiny is not based on things happening to work out. It's not a series of coincidence. But there is a God in heaven watching over you, caring for you, working actively for you, working for your good. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is what trips up a lot of people today. A lot of people get tripped up because they get into trouble and they don't think God is working on their behalf. See, the fact is there are difficulties in life. There are troubles in life. There are trials in this life, battles we face, and God knows that. That's why it says he's working in all things for our good. But when we don't understand that about God, when difficulties come, we get discouraged and we think that God has abandoned us or left us, so we get bitter or angry. Sometimes we even stop serving God. I've known of men who, because of a personal tragedy in their life, have gone off into sin and turned their back on God. I've known of women, because of a divorce or a child dying, they turned their back on God and abandoned their faith. But listen, friends, the presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. For the Bible says God works in all things, in good things, in bad things, in tragedies, in joys, in things we understand and in things we don't. In all things, God is working for my good. And if you believe this today, it will change your life. But if you fix your eyes on circumstances and trouble, it will trip you up and lead you astray. Many years ago, there was a devout Christian woman who prayed day and night for her husband to be saved. He wasn't a believer. He did not go to church. But she so wanted him to be saved, she fasted and prayed. And then one day, she got a telephone call. When she picked the call, it was the news that her husband had just been killed in a car accident. The woman was so shocked and so disappointed. She said, but God, why? I've prayed for years for my husband to be saved. He's never accepted Christ. He's not born again. If that's the case, if he's dead, it means he's in hell right now. God, why did you fail me? Why didn't you answer my prayers? The woman became so bitter, she turned her back on God, thinking he had failed her. She abandoned her faith and started focusing all her effort and energy into building her husband's company to make money. She started pursuing the things of this world. Then one day, a few months later, her secretary called her and said there was a man in the office to see her. She didn't recognize his name. He didn't have an appointment. She would have sent him away, but for one fact, he was holding a complimentary business card from her late husband. So the widow invited him in and began to question him, "How did you get this? When did you get it?" And the man said, "Well, I was traveling on business. I met your husband," and he called the year. And the woman said, "Well, tell me the month." And he called the month. And then as the woman grew pale, she started shaking. She said, "Tell me the day." And the stranger told her the very day he had met her late husband was the day he died in a car accident. And the wife was shaking. She said, "Tell me what happened. That was his last day. I never talked to him again. What happened that day?" And the young visitor said, "I wanted to tell you that on that day when we met, I witnessed to your husband about Jesus Christ. And before he got into the car and went on the road, we knelt together and he prayed to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior." Suddenly, the woman realized that her perception was wrong. She thought God had failed her, but he'd actually worked. Yet she'd wasted all those years of her life chasing things of this world simply because she thought God had disappointed her. Don't waste your years like that lady simply because you think God hasn't answered your prayer. Don't abandon your faith simply because circumstances look difficult. For the truth is, God works even when we don't see it. The truth is, God works even when things look dark. The truth is, God works even when the enemy is fighting you. The truth is, God works even when life seems unfair. In all things, at all times, for our good, God works. And in that fact, you can have peace and confidence and assurance today. You can have a great rest in your heart, because when God is working, then you know that nothing can stop him. His power is greater than any other obstacle. He is over all things, and no plan of the enemy can succeed against God. That's why later in Romans 8, Paul says this: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say amen. Oh, how I pray today that you catch a vision of the unending love of God. God is working and nothing can stop him. There's no witch in the village that can stop him. There's no demon at night that can stop him. There's no old lady in your compound. There's no black cat. There's no mother-in-law. There's no enemy in your office. There's no one who can stop you when you've got the love of God in you. You cannot be separated from him. He's not just working. He's working for your good. And the love of God means he's always on your side. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Psalms 31:19 says, how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You know, there's a bank account in heaven. It's a savings account with compound interest. And the interest is better than anything you get. And God is storing up great goodness for you. So the day will come when he's going to lavish. That's a Pastor Mark word, lavish. He's going to lavish it on you. He's going to pour it out upon you. He's going to bless you so great that the world itself will see. And I tell you, my friend, just wait a little while and you will see the blessing of God on me. Just wait a little while, you'll see the blessing of God on this church. Just wait a little while, you'll see before the whole world, God will lavish us with blessing. He stores up good. He lavishes us with good. He's good all the time. All the time. It is good. Once upon a time, there was a king who had a friend named Bapho. They were raised together, and they were inseparable. Bapho and the king used to go out hunting. Bapho would load the gun for the king would fire, and together they would get game. One day, they went out to hunt together, but Bapho made a mistake when he was loading the gun. And unfortunately, when the king fired, the gun exploded and blew off his right thumb. The king was very angry, said, "Look at what you've done. You made a mistake. My thumb has been blown off." And Bapho said, "Oh, king, it is good." Well, this made the king very angry, and he immediately ordered Bapho to be put in prison as a punishment for blowing off his finger and telling him it was good. The next week, the king's thumb had healed a little bit, although it was gone, his hand healed, and he took a new friend and went out hunting. But this time, the king and his new friend traveled too far. They went into forbidden territory, and suddenly they were captured by an enemy tribe. That tribe happened to be cannibals who ate human beings. They took the king and his friend, they tied them up, they put them on a wooden stake and began to build a fire. They came with a knife to cut off the king's head to cook and kill and eat him. And then they noticed his right thumb was missing. And in that tribe, they had a belief that you couldn't eat anything that was missing his right thumb. So they had to cut him loose and let him go. Meanwhile, they killed and ate his friend. The king quickly ran back to his village and said, "Oh," as he was on his way going, he said, "Oh, now I know what Bapho meant when he said it is good, it's good, it's good, it's true, it's good, it's good." The king rushed back to the prison and said, "Bapho, listen to what happened. My thumb was cut off because of you. You said it was good. I didn't believe." And now he told him the whole story. Then the king said, "Bapho, I'm sorry. It was very, very bad for me to put you in prison." Bapho said, "No, it is good." He said, "Ah." The king said, "What? How can you say it's good? I put you in prison. It's bad." Bapho said, "No, if I wasn't in prison, I would have been with you today." It is good. Tell your neighbor it is good. See, when you know the truth about God, you know he's always working for your. You know he can turn any situation around for your. You don't look at the outward, you look at by faith, because by faith God is. And when you know the truth about God, it will affect you and you will know the truth about all things. And that's our second truth today. Turn your page over to page 2. And there at the top, fill in the blank. Know the truth about all things. Fill in the words, all things. You see, friend, the fact is Paul begins by saying, we know God works. Then secondly, he says, we know all things. And the second thing you need to know today is the truth about your circumstances. See, the fact is, life is full of things that will come to push you down. Life is full of setbacks. Maybe a relationship you had hope in didn't work out. Maybe you got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe a storm came and blew at your house and damaged it. Maybe your visa was denied. Maybe you applied for a job and someone else took the position you wanted. It was a setback. It's easy to get discouraged and to lose our enthusiasm. But worst of all, when life pushes us down, the problem most of us face is we settle where we were pushed. We don't come back up again. We get pushed down. We never push back. We think we'll never recover. We think God has forsaken us. We think there are spiritual forces attacking us that are too great for us to overcome. So we end up staying in a place of defeat, in a place of limitation, living life as if we're always late and always behind. But listen, friends, things are not as they appear. The truth about your circumstances is not what you see with your eyes. The truth about your situation is not what your mother-in-law sees about you. The truth about your circumstances is not what others will tell you. The real truth about the things in your life is what God sees. For only God sees the full picture of your life. He knows your story from beginning to end. Only God sees how he's working behind the scenes for your good in every situation, in all things. So to apply the God Works app, you have to see your life as God sees it. How does God see your circumstances that you're in today? Well, first of all, God sees that all trials are temporary. No situation in this world is permanent. That's why 1 Peter 1:6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while." Somebody say a little while. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. It's happening right now, but it's only happening temporarily. It's just for a little while. Your trial won't last. Once there was a church that was having testimony time, and they decided to ask their members to share their favorite scriptures. So different ones stood up and shared their scripture. One young man stood up and said, "He that finds a wife finds a good thing." And everybody said, "Amen." Then a sister stood up and said, "I sought for a man to stand in the gap among you, but there was none." And then an old man got up and said, "My favorite verse is, 'And it came to pass.'" And everybody looked around and looked at him. And then finally one brother said, "But Papa, what do you mean your favorite verse is, 'And it came to pass'? That's not a promise. That's not a very good verse. What do you mean, 'And it came to pass'?" The old man said, "Well, I've lived long enough to know that trouble is temporary. 'And it came to pass' means it didn't come to stay. It came to pass." Whatever you're going through today didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Because 85 times in the Bible says, "And it came to pass." Tell your neighbor, "And it came to pass." I know you're facing trouble right now. There are some here today, it feels as if your whole world is caving in around you. Your marriage is miserable. Your business is dead. Your children don't speak to you. Your family's against you. Even your own mother and father criticize you night and day. The enemy has tried his best to stop you, but his best is not enough. The enemy's best will never be enough. And I promise you, if you stay in faith, what was meant to stop you will not be a stumbling block, but it will be a stepping stone to get you to your destiny. What looks like a closed door today will be an open horizon tomorrow. That's what Spencer Silver learned. Spencer Silver worked for a company in the U.S. called 3M. They manufacture glue, commercial industrial grade glue. And they hired Spencer back in the 70s to try to discover or invent a new glue that would be stronger than any other glue in the world. So Spencer set to work, and he did discover a new glue. But to his surprise, the glue wasn't stronger than what they had. In fact, it was weaker. The glue was so very weak, they didn't think they could use it at all. Spencer felt like a failure. Spencer thought nothing good would come of it. But a few years later, another scientist working with 3M alongside Spencer made an amazing discovery. Even though Spencer's glue wasn't stronger, it was perfect for attaching temporary notes to other things. And thus, the post-it note was invented, bringing billions of dollars of profit to 3M and to Spencer Silver. A glue strong enough to hold it, but weak enough to remove it. The post-it note looked like a failure, but that setback was really designed for a comeback. Friends, if you stay in agreement with God, you will come back. You will overcome. You will rise up. The winds may be blowing in your life right now, but your attitude should be, it's just a matter of time before things turn around. This disappointment may have me down, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm coming back stronger. God knows your troubles are temporary, but number two, he also knows that your trials are a test to get you to a better place. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. "These tests have come to prove your faith and to show that it is good. Gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. Your faith is worth much more than the gold, and it must be tested also. Then your faith will bring thanks and shining greatness and honor to Jesus Christ when he comes again." And friend, when we read this verse, we've got to understand something. The Bible tells us why we have trials. They are a test to prove us. They're a test to improve us. And the Bible says your faith must be tested. A. 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 Sorry, I'm stuck today. Somebody come and slap me. But we've got to get that within us. Your faith must be tested. For the truth is, trials are not here to make you uncomfortable. Trials are sent by God as a test to improve us. And as much as we don't like being uncomfortable, as much as we don't like situations in our lives, when we're put under pressure, it reveals our weaknesses and gives God an opportunity to purify our character and deal with what needs to be dealt with so we can go to the next level. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Pressure reveals what's in us. On the day when Jesus was betrayed, Peter said, I will never betray you. I'll stand with you forever. But when the pressure came, Peter folded. His heart was good. His intention was good. But the pressure revealed a weakness in him. And God will use these tests to refine us. See, God's not trying to make you miserable. He's trying to make you better. These trials will show weakness in our character so that just like Peter, we can change and get to our destiny. For if you're willing to make adjustments and improvements in your life, you'll pass the test and you will be promoted. Every delay in your life, every person who attacks you, every setback, every time you're tempted to be jealous or critical, every time you're tempted to worry, it's an opportunity for you to grow. These aren't just random trials and circumstances of life. They are God testing you. That's why I believe firmly God is more interested in changing you than in changing your circumstances. He will change your circumstance in time, but first he wants to change you. And in the difficult time, it shows God what we're made of. Most of us get stuck at the same level because we're not willing to deal with what God brings to light. But God's trying to change you so he can take you higher. For any time you want to go higher, the flesh has to go lower. You know, friends, I'll be honest, some of you are battling the same petty issues year after year. You and your wife, you have the same argument every week after week on Friday night. You're not making any progress. You're fasting and praying that she will change. He's fasting and praying that you will change. And God is not answering your prayer because he's not going to automatically remove the trial until it has accomplished what he sent it to do. So work with God, not against him. The next time you're in a trial, don't get upset. Try a different response. Say, this is only a test. I'm going to keep my joy. I'm going to forgive my wife. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to believe that God has something greater for my future. Sometimes you have to sow a radical seed of obedience in order to get a radical harvest of blessing. It's not easy to be kind when somebody mistreats you, but sow a radical seed of obedience and bless that person with a kind word or a gift. It's not easy to rejoice when someone in your working place gets promoted above you, but sow a radical seed of obedience and congratulate him with sincerity. For when you sow a radical seed of obedience, you'll reap a radical harvest of change. The next time you're in an uncomfortable situation, see it as an opportunity to go higher. The next time you're tempted to be impatient, see it as a test to go higher. Remember, the next time you're tempted to be offended, say, this is only a test. I'm being prepared for greater things. Once, many years ago, there was a faithful and devout Christian brother. He had everything in the world. He had a beautiful wife, a thriving business. He was wealthy. He loved God. But then all of a sudden, the storm winds blew and his life began to shake. First of all, his company ran into trouble and he ended up going bankrupt. And then the debtor collectors came to take his property and he lost his house and his furniture and everything he owned. Then his wife fell sick and she was there in the hospital for many, many months until finally she died. The man lost everything in his life. He was so discouraged, so defeated, so downcast. He couldn't understand why God had abandoned him. So he went for a walk on the streets of the city. And he happened to come to a place where a mason was working on the ground, chiseling and shaping a stone. The man looked around and couldn't see anywhere nearby that that stone would fit in. It was in front of a tall building, but the foundation was already there and the walls were already laid. So the brother watched this mason working for some time and finally said, "Sir, I see you shaping and chiseling this stone, but I don't see anywhere it will fit in." Then the mason pointed to the very top of the building, many stories high, and said, "Oh, I'm fitting this capstone. This is the capstone to go at the very top of this building. I'm working on it down here so it will fit in up there." God is chiseling you and working on you down here so that you will fit in when you get up there. God is working on you down here so you'll fit in up there. Trials are temporary. Trials are a test. But the third thing you've got to know is trials are expected. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world." And the truth of this verse comes to us in the fact that trials are actually a part of God's plan. Trials are not something that surprise God. He's not surprised at anything that is happening to you. It's all part of his plan. See, friend, when you're in a trial, you need to step back and not isolate that one incident, but look at the overall big picture of your life. One setback, one circumstance does not ruin your life. God is using all these things together for good. Give him time to add all the ingredients. I have four daughters, as you know, and they all cook. Some of them are better than others. I think Sarah's probably the best. But a few years back, my youngest daughter, Annabelle, was learning to cook, and she liked to make chocolate chip cookies, and I love chocolate chip cookies. I discovered this past week that I'm a Fanti because I love sweets. So she mixed up the dough. She put in the flour and the sugar and the chocolate and the egg and mixed it all, put them in the oven, and oh, they smelled so good. Hey, I wanted to eat them. She brought them out. We let them cool. Then she took them off the pan and gave me one. "Daddy, here's my cookie." And I took the first bite, and it was terrible. And I tried to smile. I said, "Oh, Annabelle, something was wrong. Something was missing." And we went back to trace. We discovered she left out a key ingredient. And together, without that ingredient, the cookies didn't taste well. Friend, your life is not isolated incidents. Your life is a complete recipe of God's involvement. You've got to wait for God to add every ingredient in your life. When God has you right now is not the end. You may have almost all the ingredients of your life, but you're still missing one. So give God time to work. Don't rush to bake your cookie before he's finished adding the ingredients. See, friends, some of you are lonely. All God needs to add is one ingredient. You may be estranged from a child, but all God needs to add is one ingredient. You may be lacking business, but all God needs to add is one ingredient. If you isolate circumstances in your life, you'll be confused and depressed. But when you step back to see the big picture, then you can say, "I know God is in control." So just say that after me today. I know God has a plan for my life. I know God will work out his master plan for me. Every single incident in your life adds up to success. And finally, God sees your trials as worthwhile. Listen to Romans 8:18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." And friend, I want to be frank with you today. Let's understand something. The trials you are passing through are not good. The suffering in your life today is not pleasant. It's not good. The thing you're going through is not good. But God is good. And even though it's painful, and even though it's confusing, and even though you don't know where to turn, in the midst of that, God is good. And he's building something in you. And the suffering you're passing through is not worth comparing with the glory he's going to pour pour out on you. Your trial may be painful, but it's worth it when you pass through for the glory of God. No matter what you suffer, he can even use it to bring good out of evil. When I was young in the ministry, I joined a ministry in the U.S. It was a good ministry in many ways, but there were some leaders in that organization who were not good people. They were mean and angry. They always wanted to oppress the people under them. And I can remember sometimes making just a slight mistake and being misunderstood, being yelled at, being rebuked publicly for things that weren't that big of a deal. And I began to get discouraged. I knew God had called me, but the way I was being treated made me feel down and disillusioned. In fact, many of my friends who were in the ministry eventually left the ministry. Some of them abandoned their faith, and to this day, they're bitter about their bad experience. But when I look back on that painful suffering I passed through, I remember one thing. It was in that ministry, working under unkind people, that I met my wife. Let me try that again. It was in that ministry I met my wife. Oh, the romance was temporary. And I would pass through all that suffering over again for the good of meeting my wife. The trial wasn't good. The people weren't good. The situation wasn't good. But God is good. So don't give up. Keep trusting. Stop complaining and start praising. God is going to get you through. He's going to make your light shine. He's going to use even the bad things in your life to produce something good. That's why James chapter 1 verse 12 says, God will bless you if you don't give up when your faith is being tested. Oh my God! God will bless you if you don't give up when your faith is being tested. He will reward you with a glorious life, just as he rewards everyone who loves him. Know the truth about God. He's good all the time, working for your good. Know the truth about your circumstances. Your trials are temporary. Your trials are a test. Your trials are part of God's plan to perfect you. Your trials are worthwhile because in the end, God will bless you when you pass through them. That brings us to our third and final truth today. You've got to know the truth about yourself. You see, this passage in James tells us that it's a certain kind of person that God blesses. It's a certain type of person he rewards. And the Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know that those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. God is not working for good in all things for all people. The God Works app doesn't work in many people's lives. There's a certain kind of person that can access this app, and the Bible tells us it's the one who loves him, the one who's called according to his purpose. And see, friends, you've got to know the truth today about yourself. God has reached out and called you. You're not at Agape House by accident. You're here in the divine plan because God wants to elevate you and bless you and promote you. And all the circumstances you've been facing in life were simply God getting you to the place where he could redeem you and work in your life. And now that you're his, he's working for your good. He will move heaven and he will move earth to get you to the place of your divine destiny. But there is a responsibility on your side as well. For God is looking for people who will love him. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. And God is calling us today to be the kind of people that will love him, who are called according to his purpose. And that means we're not called according to our purpose. We're not living according to our plan. But his blessings come to those who seek his kingdom, not their own kingdom. His rewards come to those who live by his plan, not their plan. And some of you are struggling today. You're frustrated in life because you're pursuing your own purpose, not God's purpose. You're fighting and struggling and things aren't working. And the reason why that door hasn't opened is because it's not God's door. You're caught up in fighting for what you want and it's not working out. But if you'll make a decision today to live in love for God, to live according to His plan and purpose, then God says He will work all things for your good. He'll turn your life around and give you blessings greater than you can imagine. One time there was a little boy who went with his dad to visit one of their rich uncles. They traveled through the city and got to this big house, went and sat in the parlor, and the rich uncle came out. The little boy noticed when he came in that there was a big basket of toffee sitting on the table in this man's house. The little boy had never seen so much toffee, and it was right there in that basket. And throughout the entire conversation, the boy just kept staring at the toffee. The uncle and the dad talked for a long time, then finally it was time to go. The uncle had noticed the little boy staring at the toffee. And so the uncle said as they stood to go, "Oh, son, why don't you take your hand and you can take a handful of the toffee and take it home with you. It's free, it's a gift. Just take your hand, take it and go." The little boy just stared at the toffee. And the uncle said, "No, it's all right." And the dad said, "Go ahead, son, you can take a handful." The boy just stood and stared at the toffee. Finally, the dad felt a bit embarrassed. He didn't know what to do, so he said, "Don't worry, I will get it for you." And the dad took his hand and grabbed a hand of sweet and put it in his pocket, and they left. After they left, the dad turned to the son and said, "Son, when your uncle offered you the toffee, why didn't you put your hand and take it? Why did you wait for me that I had to take it for you?" Then the little boy looked up at the dad with a smile and said, "Because your hand is bigger than mine." Your hand is bigger than mine. Your hand is bigger than mine. When you're called according to His purpose, you let God take the blessing and give it to you. Some of us are frustrated. Thank you. Maybe you're here today and you're frustrated in life. You think, "Nothing's working for me. Why isn't God answering?" You're using your own little hand to try to grab for yourself what you think is best. But when you surrender your life to God, when you yield to Him and walk in obedience according to His plan, you realize that God is good. All the circumstances of your life are being orchestrated to bring you to a good conclusion. You are His child, walking in His destiny. When you trust in Him, He'll take the divine heavenly hand and scoop up blessings beyond your wildest expectation. Blessings of life, of peace, of love, of joy, of eternal favor. That's my prayer for you. If you're here this morning, you want God to make the choice. I invite you to stand with me right now all across this room. Would you stand together with me? Stand together with me. Today you're here. You said to yourself, things aren't working well. You've doubted God. Life's gotten tough. You're trying to fight for your own way. You're suffering. Maybe you're here today and there's an area of your life you've gone astray. You've complained about your situation. I invite you to come to God today to repent from your heart. Ask Him to forgive you for doubting and complaining. Start praising Him and trusting Him. Maybe you're here today, you've never yielded your purpose to God. You've always been pursuing your own agenda. But I promise you, there is a whole new life waiting for you today. God has a divine destiny, a big handful of blessings to give you. And I invite you, whoever you are, whatever you're passing through, to just say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of my own way. I want your way. I've been seeking my own purpose, but now I seek your purpose. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Take control of my life. I yield myself to you. I know you are good. In all things, at all times, in every area of my life, I believe you're working for good. So I yield to you now. I surrender to you. Take control of my life. I thank you that you will change me and change my circumstances. These trials are temporary, but I know they're a test to perfect me so that the whole ingredients for my life will be brought together to create something worthwhile. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Almighty and everlasting Father, I pray for your dear children today. Lord, I know there are some here who've wept through the night, some who are facing battles that seem too great. But Lord, I pray today you'll lift the veil from our eyes, that we'll see beyond the earthly into the heavenly realm, that we will know you are good. In the darkest night, you are good. In the time of sorrow, you're good. In the time of tragedy and loss, you are good. Nothing can separate us from your love. And you will move all of heaven and earth to turn these trials for our good. I invite you and release you now, Lord, to turn around these troubled waters, to bring peace to every soul, to bring a breakthrough to every need, to bring a lifting to every burden, that your name might be glorified. Make us the people that you can bless, people who love you and are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. So Jesus has broken the chains. Hallelujah.
Oh God, Most High, Almighty King, the champion of heaven, Lord of everything. You've fought, you've won, there's no sustain. And standing in your victory we sing. You have broken the chains that held our captive soul.
Let's sing it, you have broken the chains.
You have broken the chains and use them on your foe.
All your enemies
are bound. They tremble at the sound of your name. Jesus, you are broken the chains.
Oh, yes, you did. Hallelujah. Let's sing the power.
The power of hell has been undone. Captivity held captive by the risen one. And in the name of God's great son,
we
thank you for the victory you won.
You have broken. Yes, you did, Lord.
That held our captive soul.
Say, you have broken the chains, oh God.
You have broken the chains and used them on your foe.
All your